Good morning. Welcome to Needham Market, to the 8th public meeting that we've had this week. Thank you very much for coming along. My name is Rebecca Driver. I'm Director of Communications and Engagement at Ipswich and Colchester Hospitals, and I'm facilitating this morning's event. We are going to carry on recording and using the microphones because it does help people hear what's happening, even though we're a rather small group. So I hope that's all right. We are here to talk about our proposals to develop a centre for orthopaedic surgery at Colchester Hospital. We have a consultation running. It started just over 3 weeks ago and closes on the 1st of April. And we're asking people what they think about our ideas. This is one of 11 meetings that we're holding across Essex and Suffolk. And the time we have allowed is around 2 hours for the meeting, but we may not use it all. We'll see how we go. So today is going to run with me giving just some simple messages about how this meeting will run. And then Shane Gordon, who is our Director of Strategy and Innovation, will give us all a short presentation on our proposals. We hope that will be a really useful way to hear for you to all hear the detail of what we're suggesting before we then move into the most important part of the meeting, which is your opportunity for questions and answers. So just a few little housekeeping matters before we start. Please do check if you've got your mobile phone switched on. Everyone always grabs their pockets. I had the embarrassing situation earlier this week when mine actually did go off, so I know it's turned off, but if you could turn them off, that just allows us to concentrate on the meeting and without interruption. There are no fire alarms planned for today, so if the fire alarm does go off, we do need to leave the building through either the main entrance that we came in at, or we can just go off behind you to your left. We will be recording the event today. The reason we're doing that is it will allow us to post it online, because some people will want to listen perhaps to what's been said and what's been asked, and it allows us to have a record of the discussions that we have. And if you do have a hearing aid, you can now turn it to T, and then you'll have a better, hopefully better reception and a better hearing of the event through our hearing loop. So without further ado, I'm going to invite Dr. Gordon, as I said, our Director of Strategy and Innovation, to give us a presentation on our proposals. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca. Good morning, everybody. So it's my pleasure to present the proposals for a Centre for Planned Orthopaedic Surgery based at Colchester Hospital. This plan is part of a bigger programme of work called Building for Better Care, which is funded by nearly £70 million of central government investment in our health services. And that is for two main themes of work. The first is urgent and emergency care, and the vast majority of that is at Ipswich Hospital. And that includes a new MRI and CT scanner at Ipswich, a brand new emergency department, or A&E as it's sometimes called, an urgent treatment centre, and expansion of the specialty assessment units at both sites. So specialty assessment units are part of the emergency care pathway. If you've been seen in the emergency department and you need to see a surgeon or a physician, then the quickest way to do that is to transfer you through to the specialty assessment unit. So we're expanding the capacity of those units on both sites. And there is also a small reconfiguration of the Colchester Emergency Department. The second element is the planned care services, which are the subject of the discussion today. And that has got two elements in it that we need to deliver with this funding. The first is the elective Centre for Orthopaedic Surgery that we're talking about. And the second is the reprovision of day surgery facilities at Colchester Hospital, which are coming to the end of their usable life. So I've heard people make comments over the last few weeks that they think we might be downgrading Ipswich Hospital. And I just wanted to be clear that That is very far from the truth. So there is a significant amount of investment going into Ipswich Hospital over the next 5 to 10 years to modernise many of the services there. We've talked about the first three, the emergency department, the urgent treatment centre and the scanners, which are a significant investment in their own right. But we will also be redeveloping the breast unit, the children's unit, moving and renovating the dermatology and neurophysiology services, building three new keyhole surgery theatres and improving the outpatient facilities at Ipswich. And there are a number of other schemes as well, and there were just too many to fit on the slide, really. So there's a lot going on at Ipswich as well. Why are we doing this? Well, the main reason is that we simply don't have enough capacity in our orthopaedic services to meet the needs of our population in a timely way. So at the moment, on average last year, about 30% of our patients had a date booked for surgery and then it was cancelled or rescheduled. Not all of those patients would have received a letter confirming their date, but it gives you an idea of how much of our capacity has to be rescheduled. And the reason it's rescheduled is because emergency patients are in the beds that we had planned to use for planned care patients. The net result of that is that we're doing a lot fewer inpatient operations than we were 5 years ago, nearly a quarter less inpatient procedures. That means that people are now waiting longer. So the average waiting time for surgery at Ipswich is 22 weeks now from referral. The national average is 14 weeks. And we feel that's far too long for people to be in pain waiting for their surgery. It's not the level of service that we would want to offer. Also, because of the cancellations, every time we cancel a patient, of course it pushes not just that patient's surgery back, but everybody in the queue behind them as well. And the consequence of that is that our waiting list is getting longer. So there are nearly 50% more people on the waiting list than there were 18 months ago. So we have to do something to increase the capacity. The centre itself would have at least 48 new inpatient beds built to the most modern NHS standards. That means at least half of those beds will have to be single ensuite rooms, and the remaining beds would be in four-bedded bays. If you're familiar at all with the bays we have in our wards at the moment, where we have six beds is about the same space we would have four beds in the new facility. So it's quite spacious compared to our existing wards. That has several advantages. The first one is that there's less risk of infection passing between patients because they're that much further apart. The second is that the space around the beds allows for rehabilitation at the bedside, for example, because you can get the therapy equipment to the patient rather than having to take the patient out of the ward to get them up and about after their surgery. And that means that the ward staff can also support the patients in their rehabilitation more easily. So it gets people up and moving more quickly. And the final advantage is that, particularly in the ensuite rooms, there is space for a bed for a visiting friend or relative if that's required. So it has a lot of advantages over our current wards. It would also include up to six new ultra-clean operating theatres, the highest specification of operating theatres in the NHS. Initially, we'd need five, but there will be space to expand that to a sixth operating theatre in time when that is required as the number of people needing surgery grows. And the centre would focus on orthopaedic joint replacements and a number of other procedures, but the sort of typical procedures that people are would think about in these cases is hip and knee replacement. Are the common ones. The centre would also be a hub for revision surgery. So if you have a hip or a knee replacement, although they last a long time, they don't last forever. And therefore, there are an increasing number of people who have to have a redo of their joint replacement, which is a much more complicated procedure. And this centre would be an excellent place to do that surgery. There are a number of benefits for patients. So I've mentioned the greatly reduced risk of cancellation and the shorter waiting times that will occur because of that. We also expect that this facility, this fantastic new facility, will continue the trend of reducing the amount of time people actually spend in hospital after their surgery. So when I was a junior doctor and I trained in orthopaedics, people would spend 7 to 10 days in hospital after a hip replacement. Now they spend 3 days. So that trend has been coming down for quite a long time, and we expect this facility will continue that trend. We've got better clinical outcomes here. Our outcomes are pretty good at the moment in both hospitals. So I don't think we're making an argument that we will significantly increase clinical outcomes for patients, but we will maintain the excellent outcomes we have, as well as shortening the waiting time for our patients. And obviously, if you're in pain and not able to walk properly, that has a significant impact on your life, on your physical health, and on your mental health. So that we're optimistic that shorter waiting times will actually improve the outcome overall for patients. We do know, though, from many areas of medical practice that variation is a cause of poor quality, because people aren't following a standardised way of working. And the creation of this centre will allow us to standardise the care that our patients receive to the best possible practice. The physical environment, as I've mentioned, will be it'll be the best environment we have in all of our estate. And I think that will be a great place to work for staff and a great place to receive care for patients and their families. Importantly, it's extra space, so it frees up some of our existing space for other parts of our services that desperately need more space or better accommodation. So at Ipswich Hospital, not only do we have problems with planned surgery for orthopaedics, if you have an emergency surgery need in orthopaedics, like a fractured hip is the commonest one, then you quite often wait longer than you should to have your fracture fixed. And the main reason for that is we don't have enough theatre space for emergency orthopaedic surgery. We only have one theatre for that at Ipswich. And if there are more people needing surgery than we can accommodate in any given day, they have to wait longer for their hip to be repaired, which obviously is not ideal. And this plan will not only create more space for planned surgery, it will give extra theatre and bed capacity to emergency orthopaedic surgery at Ipswich and to spinal surgery. It will be a specialist centre, and those kind of centres are fantastic places to work and to train, and therefore we expect that that will attract the best staff to our region, which will protect our services for the future. And of course, those excellent staff will undertake research and bring innovation in practice for our patients into the future. So this is a real stimulus to the future of the quality of services that we can offer to our patients. So why have we selected Colchester Hospital? We did look at as many options as we could think of for these proposals. We looked at buying the Toys R Us site at the Copdock roundabout. We looked at options at Ipswich, options at Colchester and others. It is true to say that you could physically fit this building into the Ipswich site. Absolutely, you could. But the problem is you'd have to knock something down in order to fit it in. And then you'd have to rebuild the thing you knocked down somewhere else on the site. And that consumes quite a lot of the money without actually any additional benefit. And although the money we're talking about here is very significant sums of money, it's not infinite. So once we'd done both the feasibility of where you could locate the building and looked at the costs of each of those options, there is only one option that is both feasible and affordable, and that is on the Colchester site. The second element of that is that we have to re-provide the day surgery facilities at Colchester. If we built the centre at the Ipswich site, we'd have to build a brand new building at Colchester for day surgery. Whereas if we put the centre at the Colchester site, because we're taking some of the orthopaedic services out of one of our existing buildings into the centre, it creates sufficient space to provide the day surgery facilities within our existing buildings at Colchester, which obviously costs a lot less money. So it's another reason why we've selected Colchester. And the final reason is a little bit more subtle, but I think is still important. At the moment, about an equal number of people come for this kind of surgery to Ipswich Hospital has come to Colchester Hospital. There's a slightly more at Colchester, but it is very slight. However, the growth in the population around Colchester Hospital compared to around Ipswich Hospital is about double over the next 20 years. And that is in age groups where people need this kind of surgery. So by the time we get to 20 years into the future, the difference is much more marked and more people around Colchester Hospital will need this surgery than around Ipswich Hospital. So one of our considerations is that when we build this centre, we want to cause as few people as possible to have to travel further. And again, for that reason, we would select Colchester rather than Ipswich. So I don't know if any of you are familiar with the Colchester site, but the main hospital is here, with the front entrance of the hospital here. And this blue block is the new proposed location of the new centre. This is the northern approach road from the A12, somewhere up here, coming down past the hospital. There is a park and ride facility at the A12 and a bus stop here. There's a mainline train station on the line to Ipswich down here. And we think, with support from our local government partners as part of this proposal, that we will be able to create a new road entrance here right next to the centre with a small amount of parking next to it, particularly for those who need disabled parking access. So there's a good location there on the Colchester site. One more thing to say about this. So why didn't we put it at Cop Dock? The reason for that is that there used to be a number of these centres that were isolated and at a distance from general hospitals. And the reason there aren't many of those anymore is that most of the time that's absolutely fine. But if you have a serious complication, one of those rare events where you have a heart problem, a lung problem, or some other severe medical problem, you need help quite quickly. And therefore, when we were looking at these options, our clinicians very clearly said to us it must be on one of the two hospital sites to be close to all the support you might need in those rare events, which I think is, you know, as a doctor, that seems very sensible to me. So it's close enough to be happy, but it's far enough away from the main hospital block to reduce the temptation to put emergency patients in there. And that's really the main thing we're trying to achieve with this, is to create a dedicated planned surgery facility that does not have emergency patients in it. Because when you put emergency patients in a bay with that you would use for planned surgery normally, you don't have the luxury of screening them for things like MRSA, and therefore you have to close that bay to all the elective patients, all the planned patients, because you don't know whether that patient is contaminated with MRSA. And then once that patient has gone, you have to deep clean the whole bay, which usually takes another half a day to a day to do. So you lose that bed capacity for quite a long time if you start putting emergency patients in there. There are a lot of things that wouldn't change. So your outpatient visits, your diagnostic tests, x-rays, scans, blood tests, etc., and your preoperative anaesthetic safety assessments would all be conducted at your local hospital, Ipswich in this case. Ipswich will remain the regional centre for spinal surgery. All day surgery, all orthopaedic day surgery will remain at Ipswich. Emergency surgery for orthopaedics will remain at Ipswich, and all follow-up appointments would stay there as well. Importantly, you would see, if you see a consultant at Ipswich for your outpatient appointments, you'll see the same consultant who will do your surgery down at the elective centre. So they will follow you down to the centre. So the only things that change are the actual episode of 3 or 4 days when you go for your surgery. Hopefully the total number of visits, as I'll explain in a minute, will reduce, and certainly the risk of cancellation will reduce. So the current pathway, if you are referred for orthopaedic surgery, can be quite lengthy. So all of our patients at the moment in both Suffolk and North East Essex get a community assessment before they are their referral passes on to the hospital, and that would continue in the new pathway. But at the moment, you can have up to 6 hospital visits before your surgery. That is very variable between different surgeons and the two hospitals. So some surgeons, that can be as few as 2 visits, and other surgeons, it can be up to 6. So it's not standardised at the moment. After your surgery, you might have then between 2 and 6 further visits for consultant follow-up and for rehabilitation. So quite a lot of to-ing and fro-ing at the moment between the hospitals. We think that using the development of this centre as a catalyst, really, there is an opportunity to look very carefully at the way we deliver care and see if there are opportunities to reduce the total number of visits that patients have to make to have their surgery and recover from it. And there are a few things that we can see will help with that. The first is to do more in the way of one-stop initial assessments, where you would come and have your diagnostic tests, x-rays, scans, etc., and then see the consultant on the same day so that you only have to make one visit to the hospital to get a diagnosis. And then you can start your decision-making process at that first visit as to whether you might need an operation. And at the moment, that can take 2 or 3 visits. And obviously with rehabilitation afterwards, because people are staying only 3 days on average, a lot of that rehabilitation is what you do in your own home already, getting up and around to the toilet and, you know, feeding and washing yourself. So we think there are good opportunities for increasing the amount of rehabilitation support we can offer to people in community settings like community hospitals, but also for some patients even in their own home. There are a number of areas in the country that are now offering therapy by video link, for example, and getting people to join in with the therapy exercises in their own homes. So we could do those sort of things as well. I think we're going to see in the next few weeks and months a rapid increase in the number of video interactions that we're doing with people in their own homes because of the blessed coronavirus. And hopefully that will give us good experience of the possibilities of doing those sort of things. And I think finally, we would move to following people up if there is a problem, rather than just to say, hello, how are you doing? You're doing fine. Great, I'll see you in 6 months, which we do, unfortunately, do quite a lot at the moment. So if we have good ways of communicating with people at home, then we can ask you if you're doing well, if you have any concerns, if you feel you need to be seen, and if everything's going well, what's the point of making you fight your way up to the hospital and find a parking space? So we think we can streamline those pathways quite a lot. How many people would be affected? Well, across all of our catchment area in Ipswich and East Suffolk and North East Essex, just over 3,400 people needed this kind of surgery last year. Just under half of those were done at Ipswich and would, in the proposals, move the location of their surgery. The centre itself would do about 14 cases a day, and about half of those would be people coming from Suffolk to Colchester under these proposals, so about 7 people a day. Importantly, over the next 20 years, the number of people needing surgery is going to grow significantly. So it's 3,400 last year. In 20 years' time, it'll be about 4,400. So it's a significant growth that we're expecting. And of course, as I showed you earlier, we're not managing the demand now. So we really have to do something to give ourselves more capacity to meet the needs of our patients. We recognise that there's going to be some impact on some of our staff. Some of them may have to change the way that they work or even the location at which they work. But the public consultation comes at quite an early stage in the planning process. That's how we're required to do it. I think personally I would have liked to come and say, look, we've worked everything out, it's all fine, here's the plan. But actually we have to do the public consultation almost at the start of the process to ask you, the public, and your representatives and our staff, is this the right direction to go in before we put all that effort into planning? So there is a lot more planning to be done, a lot of detail to go through with our staff about what the best way is to organise rotas, for example, the skill mix that we need, to consult with our staff about any changes to the way that they work. And that will happen after the consultation if we are successful in proceeding. So the consultation itself, as I've explained, we're consulting on just one option. And the reason for that is that we did look very hard for more options, but we couldn't find one that was both feasible and affordable. So we are presenting a single option to you, but we really do want to understand your views on it, any concerns that you might have, and particularly any ideas you have for meeting those concerns. So the thing we've heard most about in all of our conversations so far is transport and access to the site, and we've had lots of creative suggestions from members of the public about how we could help people who have to go a bit further to get their treatment in a timely way. So if you have ideas, we really do want to hear those, and from your friends and your family as well. There's a lot more information on our website. So there are assessments of the travel impact and equality impact. There is a summary of the business case with a lot more detail in it. And importantly, there is a very helpful report from the East of England Clinical Senate. So the clinical senates are independent groups of highly experienced clinicians of all disciplines, and every region in England has one. And their job is to review these kind of proposals and give an independent clinical view. So the report we've received from the clinical senate is extremely supportive of this proposal and of the selection of the Colchester site as the location. It has made some suggestions, some recommendations about the proposals that we've taken on board and will incorporate in the plans as we go forward. So I really would encourage you to read that report. We're holding a number of public meetings. As Rebecca explained, this is number 8 of 11. And we have some social media engagement going on at the moment as well, for those that do that sort of thing. The timeline for this, the consultation continues until the 1st of April. We are then in the pre-election period for local government elections, which means we can't do any more public activity until they are concluded on the 8th of May, if indeed they go ahead on the 8th of May, which I think may now be in doubt, but we'll see. Once they're concluded, we will undertake a decision-making workshop with a group of stakeholders that will include public representatives, our local health watch organisations for Suffolk and Essex, local government representatives, our commissioners and our staff, and they will look at all of the feedback from the consultation process and make a recommendation to the governing bodies of the clinical commissioning groups who will meet in the summer to decide the outcome of the consultation. If we're successful at that point, we then begin the detailed planning process and the development of the detailed business cases for these proposals, and that will take us at least another 12 months to do. So as I said, there's quite a lot of planning to do. At the end of that process, we can award the contract, so that takes us into 2021 or even 22 possibly, and it will take 2 years to build the centre, so it won't open until 2024, which to my mind seems like quite a long time away given the challenges we've got at the moment. So I'll stop there and hand back to Rebecca, and we'll take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shane. Just for the benefit of our new arrivals, I'm Rebecca Driver. I'm the Director of Communications at Ipswich and Colchester Hospitals, and I'm facilitating the event today, and I'll just ask Shane to introduce himself.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Shane Gordon. I am the Director of Strategy for ESNEFT, the East Suffolk and North Essex Foundation Trust, and I'm a GP by background.
Okay, so thank you very much for coming along today, everybody. I hope you found Shane's overview really helpful. We just wanted to describe our proposals to you, but we're at the most important part of the meeting now, which is your opportunity to ask any questions that you have that Shane and myself will do our very best to answer. I'm sure you all will be very respectful of each other, but if we just let everyone get the opportunity to ask their question, and obviously for us to give our answers, and we'll get through everything you want to ask a question about. Sometimes those people aren't comfortable about asking a question in a public area like this. So Luke, my colleague, who's just standing over here with the microphone, if you've got anything you'd like to ask and want a quiet word with him, he can put your question through me. Or alternatively, we're not rushing away at the end of the meeting, so if you'd like to talk to us privately about anything, please do so, and we'll do our best to answer any questions you've got about yourself or any of your relatives that might have questions or queries. We do have microphones. We are recording today, so we will be bringing the microphone to you if you'd like to speak. So simply just pop your hand in the air and Luke will come over to you. For those of you concerned about cross-contamination and coronavirus, we are wiping it with an antibacterial wipe, which was suggested to us on Tuesday by a very helpful member of the public, and a really good suggestion too. So we will be keeping it clean between each meeting, each question. Sorry. So without further ado, do we have a question? Sir, I can see you do, and I'll come to you next, madam. Thank you, Luke. If you'd like to introduce yourself, please do so, but you don't have to.
Peter Tinian from Barrackley and PPG, and I also sit on, I'm also a Health Watch member as well. 2 years ago, when we had this first discussion about the mergers with Colchester and Ipswich, they said there was going to be no loss of services from Ipswich. Now, this seems to have all gone by the board somewhere along the line, and Ipswich, it seems, is now going to be the poorer out of the two hospitals. This merger is not going to work for Ipswich, because Ipswich can't grow, because Ipswich boundaries can't extend any further, whereas Colchester's can. So to be perfectly honest, moving this orthopaedic unit to one point is going to make it a lot harder for people who live in the north of Suffolk and to the east of East Suffolk as well, to get to this hospital, because the transport links are absolutely atrocious.
Of course.
So there's a few elements of your question to address. I think in terms of the merger, we didn't say nothing would move. We said some.
It was noted at March and Eve that no services would be lost from Ipswich Hospital.
No, we definitely didn't say that. I know, because I wrote it. So we said some very specific things wouldn't move. So we said we would not close the A&E at either hospital. We would not move maternity services, and we would not move emergency medical care at either hospital. But we were very clear that there were a number of services where we needed to look at how they were organised to make sure we could continue to offer high quality care into the future. And this is, I think, the main one that we need to address. This one we're proposing is centralised at Colchester. But in no way, I'm not sure whether you were here for this particular slide, but in no way are we downgrading Ipswich Hospital. Indeed, all of this investment over the next few years is at Ipswich Hospital. If we were downgrading Ipswich Hospital, we certainly wouldn't be spending £35 million on a new A&E and urgent treatment centre, for example. So we are absolutely committed to the future of Ipswich Hospital. This particular service makes more sense to be sited at Colchester, but there are other services that may well work better at Ipswich Hospital. So one of the more exciting developments for the future of emergency medical care is called thrombectomy for stroke, so mechanically removing the clot from the brain, which is a bit like we do for the treatment of heart attacks at the moment with balloon angioplasty. And at the moment, the proposals are that that will only be available in the east of England, in Cambridge and in Norfolk. So that's a long way away from any of our residents, unless perhaps you live up near Lowestoft, for example. But for almost all of the rest of our patients, it's actually too far away to get to in the time required for treatment. So we are going to have to fight really hard to get that service in our area. And we think at the moment that Ipswich Hospital would be the centre for that. So it's not one-way traffic at all. And over the last 20 years or so, both hospitals acting separately have lost quite a lot of services. So head and neck cancer services, as an example, cardiac services, a whole load of other things have gone from both hospitals because they're too small on their own. For orthopaedics, there is already a suggestion that the redo operations, I can't remember whether you were here for that conversation earlier, but the redo operations of joints may only be allowed to be done in larger centres. So if we're not careful, we may lose that as well. So it's not that the world is standing still around us. The world is moving. Every country in the world is moving to smaller numbers of larger centres because you generally get better outcomes for patients by doing that. So part of the reason for doing this is we want to protect the future of the excellent orthopaedic surgery that we get at both hospitals at the moment. And the best way to do that is to have one big centre that will become a centre of excellence for the future, and then is much less at risk of losing services. But it is only one of the things that we're, amongst the many, many, many other developments that we're going to be doing at both hospitals. So the reason for this slide was really to illustrate our absolute commitment to the future of Ipswich Hospital as a vibrant hospital for its community. It's not, we're not downgrading either hospital. They are both really important for our communities. So, you know, absolutely, you've got my commitment, but I think you've got strong financial commitment to that as well for the future. Does that address your question?
It answers part of the question.
Is there more to it? Because I'm happy to take other bits to that question. Yeah. We're recording, so if you wouldn't mind, that would be helpful.
You've got to look at it from the point of view of the patient as well as the relatives who need to go and see the patients as well. Colchester's accessibility for patients' relatives to get there, especially if they're elderly and they need help with transportation. Say somebody's coming from Eye in Suffolk, to get down to Colchester, it's going to take them half a day to get there and half a day to get back. And the cost is going to be astronomical for these people. And when you're in hospital, you want to have somebody to come
absolutely
and see, especially with orthopaedics. Yeah. I've had both my knees done in Ipswich, and I'll tell you something, they were absolutely brilliant. And I wouldn't go past Ipswich in recommendation for orthopaedics because I had a brilliant surgeon both times. And the care that I received at Ipswich on Martlesham Ward, because it's a super clean ward, I've never ever heard, and I've been going to the hospital now for about 10 or 12 years, of anybody contracting MRSA or any of the other C. diff or anything on that ward. It is that highly cleaned all the time.
Yeah.
And to lose that facility from Ipswich for a lot of people, because there's a lot more elderly people now in Ipswich than what there is in Colchester and what there ever will be.
That's not actually correct, but I'll come to that in a second.
But the point being is people feel safe in their own environment in Ipswich, in the hospital. They trust the hospital, the locals do.
So I'm happy to address those points because I think they are all really important. So I completely agree with you that if you're having a big operation, having the ability for your family or your carers or your friends to visit you is really important, and we absolutely recognise that. There is no doubt that access to even Ipswich Hospital from places like Eye or up in the northeast of Suffolk, if you're not in a car, it's really difficult. And that's a situation now, rather than caused by this proposal. So we have looked at that in the travel assessment that we've got on the website that I mentioned earlier. But I think in response, the part of the purpose of the consultation is to hear these issues and to understand exactly how they're going to affect people. So I think that's, you know, it's really important that we do hear these things. We could have put in the consultation document what we thought we should do about that. But we decided there was a risk of kind of jumping to conclusions there because we hadn't heard all the views of the public about it at that point. So we've chosen to leave that as something we'll do in response to the consultation rather than as part of the consultation. We have got some help from Health Watch actually in Suffolk in surveying our existing patients to understand how they get to the hospital at the moment and what the issues might be. So that's going to be really helpful input into that process. Our two local authorities, Essex and Suffolk, have a joint health overview and scrutiny committee formed to look at these kind of proposals, and they have formed a working group looking at transport for exactly this reason. We're participating in that along with our CCGs who commission the patient transport service and the commissioners of the bus services in the local government areas, which fortunately are the same bus company in both Suffolk and Essex. So there is an opportunity there for bus routes to be amended by the county councils in response to this, for example. So they are all, we've had our first meeting already a couple of weeks ago, and a very similar sort of issues were coming out onto the table, which is really helpful. So we are already moving to come up with some solutions. And I think there are a number of ways in which we'll address this. So firstly, our surgeons tell us that a good number of people get to the hospital by car, not necessarily driving themselves, but getting a lift from a family member or a friend. And from Eye, for example, the journey to Ipswich Hospital is only 7 minutes shorter than the journey to Colchester Hospital, interestingly. It's just the way it is.
I used to work in transport logistics.
I believe you. You don't agree with me, but...
You can't do it because the distance from Eye to the Ipswich Hospital is a lot easier than trying to get the culture.
That's not what our travel assessment indicates, but I don't doubt your experience. I accept there's differences at different times of day, but the point being that for many of the patients in Suffolk, actually the journey to Ipswich Hospital is often difficult as well now, and the journey to Colchester will add some travelling, but it may not be as much as people first think. So by car, I think it's, if you have got access to a car in some way, I don't think there's an excessive amount of additional travelling. However, if you don't have a car, then some of the other solutions will come into play. So last year, our CCGs tell us 100,000 people used patient transport. Now, if you're travelling with a patient in the patient transport, you can use that. Obviously, if you're travelling at a different time, that presents a different set of challenges. There are community transport voluntary organisations organised. I can see there's one of the buses out there. And we believe, talking to our voluntary sector councils, that they would be willing to work with us to extend the offer that they can make to people to access not just their local hospital, but perhaps Colchester as well. and there may be other solutions as well that we haven't thought of. So I think it's being, you know, we've got to be creative about it, but we absolutely recognise that that is a really important issue. I think you said, you also said something about your own experience of care, which I thought was great. So again, I'm not sure if you saw this slide before you arrived, but there's no question that the care our patients get when they have surgery at both hospitals is excellent, and we're not doubting that at all. The problem we've got at the moment is that people are having to wait a very, very long time to get that excellent care. They're waiting 6 weeks longer on average than the national average. Some patients, and a number of them have come to these sort of meetings, have waited over a year from their referral to having their surgery. And you will have experience of this with your knees, I'm sure, that when you're waiting for that kind of surgery, you are in pain, it's very disabling, it has an effect not just on your physical health, but your mental well-being as well. So we're not happy that people have to wait so long. We're very happy with the quality of the surgery, but not with the length of time people are waiting. And this slide is really to illustrate some of those issues, that people are waiting significantly longer. We're doing less inpatient planned surgery than we were 5 years ago by nearly a quarter. And the reason for that is we haven't got enough space for all the emergency patients. So they are displacing the people who would have planned surgery, and therefore the waiting lists are getting longer. So it's that problem we're trying to solve rather than the fact that there's a quality issue, because there isn't. But there is no doubt that a fantastic new facility like this will offer excellent quality treatment. It will be an amazing specialist centre for patients needing this kind of surgery, and it will be the same excellent surgeons that treated you working in that centre. So we're optimistic that they will provide really good quality surgery, but a lot quicker than people are getting it now. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Give us your question. There we go.
Hello, my name's Anne. I'm an retired nurse. My question,
Hi.
In working in orthopaedics for 26 years, my question is, where are the staffing levels coming from for the new area? Will that decrease the levels on the wards that are currently in existence for the trauma? And also the MRSA you brought up. I worked in a hospital, yet I worked on an elective ward. It was regularly filled with trauma patients because there were no other beds to put them in.
Yeah.
And which meant it closed for elective patients coming in.
I think you're exactly right. That's the problem we've got at the moment, is we don't have enough space. So where are the staff coming from? Well, as I said on what won't change, there's a lot of other orthopaedic services at Ipswich Hospital that aren't going to move. So we don't anticipate that they will have less staff. In fact, because the space for some of those, like the emergency surgery, is going to grow, we'll need more orthopaedic nursing, therapy, medical staff for those patients. And we would expect there to be more because the number of people needing care is growing. For those that are involved in the planned surgery side, obviously we will have to consult with those staff about what the options are for their roles in due course. Some of them may choose to come down to the new centre because it would be a fantastic place to work. Others may feel that they don't want to move, or they have family responsibilities in the local area and may have to find an alternative role within the team. But there'll be plenty of opportunities for that, as I'm sure you had in your experience, that people move around in roles all the time. It will, and I think on that point, one of the anxieties that was raised when we were going into the merger was that people told us a lot of staff will leave. And actually, we now employ 400 more staff than we did before we merged. So people haven't left in droves. In fact, more people are coming because we have merged and they see us as a stronger organisation with more opportunities to develop careers. That's what they're telling us when they come. So I think actually a fantastic new centre like this will be a magnet for new staff and really good staff, and also a great place for our existing staff to have their careers develop. So, Martlesham, I think absolutely brilliant ward, brilliant staff, but it's really tired as a ward now. It's not a very modern place to deliver healthcare, and it desperately needs modernisation, and we can achieve that through this process as well as building the new centre. So I think you're absolutely right that we will have to get the staff, but the experience from other places that have done this, and there are five or six in England now, but there are dozens and dozens across the world, is that they don't have any trouble recruiting because they are the best place to go. No, not necessarily, because people come in from outside the region. So we've got a number of people applying for consultant roles in orthopaedics at Ipswich at the moment. They know that we've got these proposals, and the reason they've applied is they think this is a really exciting opportunity for their careers. So I think it isn't a zero-sum game that we take nurses from one ward and put them on another ward. It actually brings people into our region from other regions in England, but also internationally, and that's great for our services for the future. Does that help? Our rates of MRSA are very low. I use that as an illustration of that people might be familiar with, obviously you're more expert than most people would be. MRSA probably is not the main driver, but other things like Clostridium difficile certainly are important, and we do still have a few dozen cases every year in both hospitals of Clostridium difficile, and we know that the closer patients are together, the more likely they are to be cross-infected. Things like norovirus in the winter, so all the space helps with infection control. MRSA might not be the best example. It's probably the reason I used it is it's the best known one. So does that answer your question? Yeah, thank you. Are there any other questions? Good questions today, by the way.
Just leading back to saying you're going to get more consultants in Ipswich, and you're trying to hold on more doctors for the whole of East Anglia.
All the practices are struggling to hold on to doctors. So how can you say that we're getting an influx of doctors wanting to come to Ipswich when in the past we've had doctors leave Ipswich because we can't hold on to them because there's not the lifestyle that they quantify having, say, where they're probably trained in London or elsewhere. So how can we hold on to them?
There always are people who move on because, it's not the right lifestyle for them, or their family circumstances change. But there's no doubt that Suffolk is a beautiful place to live. I don't live in Suffolk, but Rebecca does. And I work here for half of my week now, so I get to enjoy it. But it is a fantastic place to live if you're not in that kind of urban early stage of your life when you're getting married and you haven't, your kids aren't in school yet. But when you get to have a family and you want to settle somewhere, you can't beat Suffolk, really. But the reason some of those staff still leave is that we haven't got the opportunities in their careers that other places that have got more modern specialist facilities can offer them. So this is a game changer from that point of view for orthopaedics, is it will give us a centre that will be the envy of any hospital in the country. And that is a great attractor for excellent, highly skilled staff, not just to come and learn, but to establish their career, to do research, to bring innovation into practice. So in the next couple of months, we will be trialling a robot for knee surgery. And that's the kind of innovation that we expect to see at this centre. That robot may turn knee replacement surgery into a day case procedure rather than an inpatient procedure, because it can allow you to operate through much smaller wounds. So it's that kind of thing that will be, what gives this place life and really attracts people to come and work there.
I think that will depend on what part of the knee you're operating on. If you don't
I agree. It won't be for total knee replacements.
You're probably talking about the cartilage and that kind of that's thing right. for the robot.
Yeah.
My surgeon said, there's no two knees that are the same.
No. But that's why the robot helps, because it can take the scans of your joint and very precisely align the joint replacement, so you get a better outcome, quicker mobilisation, less disability after the surgery. I agree with you, if it's a total knee replacement in the standard way, you'd still stay 3 or 4 days, but the whole idea of the innovation is to move away from what we do now to something that's better. So I'm not saying the robot's the only thing, but it's just an illustration of the kind of technical advances in treatment that people will be attracted to come and try and do and bring into practice at this kind of centre. And that's really exciting as a clinician, to be able to move care on in that way. It's a great opportunity for our patients for the future.
Is it worth giving the example of Mr. Wood, one of our newest consultants, which is Borderhouse?
Yes. Yes.
So we can work.
Absolutely. So he joined the trust about 18 months ago, and he knew at that stage that we were proposing building this centre, and he joined Ipswich Hospital. He knew we were proposing building it at Colchester, and he bought a house halfway in between because of that. But I mean, that's what will happen, isn't it? Is people will accommodate doing this, and as the new generation of staff comes in, they'll build their lives around the new arrangement. So we've got 4 years before it's built, and I'm not anxious that's plenty of time to adapt to the new way of working.
So going on what was said from the beginning with everything that's going on.
Going on again from what has been said in the past, i.e. that there's very little development land left at Ipswich, and there's not going to be after this new buildings, but there's going to be very little land left at Colchester, is that correct?
Yes, yeah, so, I mean, I think
so
this is
one
of the few
an idea bandied about a while ago that was talking about building a hospital somewhere halfway between Ipswich and Colchester.
I've heard
still lying dormant somewhere?
No.
That likely to happen?
I've heard one of our councillors in Essex saying that. And I'm not sure whether that's the sort of thing you've heard. We have looked at that a little bit as, you know, a potential solution. But the challenge with doing that is to build a hospital that replaced all the services we do at Ipswich and Colchester. A, it would be a very big hospital, because we've got, a really high number of beds between us. We'd be a massive hospital. And secondly, there's so much investment sunk into the existing sites that you then have to get rid of and rebuild. So you lose the value you've invested and you have the cost of rebuilding it. So we're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds to do that, plus a loss of hundreds of millions of pounds of sunk investment. And it doesn't make sense to do that. I can't see a reality in which that happens. So it's an interesting thought, but I can't see it happening in my lifetime. No, I don't think so. So we've got to make the best of the hospitals we've got, and I think that's what we're trying to do here, is it's another step in making our hospitals as good as they can be by using the combined clinical expertise that we've got between the two hospitals. So we've got 27 orthopaedic surgeons between us. That makes us one of the biggest units in the country. And that changes the way people coming from outside the region look at our services when they're thinking about career choices. That's really important for us, because that attraction of good quality staff is the life of our hospitals. It's the future of our services. And part of the challenge, I think, for general practice, in the way that I'm a GP and I know those challenges all too well, is that our general practices are very small scale organisations. And they're, you know, very small scale organisations present challenges in developing your career and branching out into interesting things, because you've really just got to be doing everything when you're in a small practice. And it's the same with our clinical specialties, is the bigger they are, the more people can develop their highly specialised interests. And that's what makes life interesting as a clinician, of whether a nurse or a therapist or a consultant. I'm very excited, I'm digressing a little bit here, but we've just been able to get some charity funding that allows us to create some academic physiotherapy posts. So we're going to have people who are lecturers or professors in physiotherapy in the next few years, which will be fantastic to support these kind of services, and will be one of the very few units in the world that are doing that. So that's the kind of really exciting development that we can get to by being big enough to be able to do that, and that this is the kind of thing we need to do to make the most of that for the future of our services and for our, not you because you've got new knees now, but for your family and their children, and for my knees and hips when I get there as well. So it's that. I think this is really exciting.
As long as there's going to be some benefits for everybody, yeah. It's just getting all the pros and cons sorted out long beforehand.
Yeah,
absolutely. Before anything's actually decided.
Yeah.
It's like everything else. If you don't ask the questions,
absolutely.
You can't.
They're great questions.
You can't say, well, I didn't go along and.
Yeah. You are winning on the questions here. Best questions this week. In all seriousness, they are the right questions and they're great questions. So I'm really glad you've asked them. Thank you. Yeah. Are there any other questions? Shall I hand back to you?
Yes. Thank you, Shane. So if there really are no other questions, as I've said, we're really happy to stay behind and ask you any more. Answer any other questions you might have. As Shane said, great questions, thank you very much. And ones we have heard from, I mean, you're quite right to ask about what does this mean about the future of Ipswich Hospital. Will staff really want to work here? And it is very exciting. I've actually only been with the organisation for a year, and I used to work in Norfolk. And the opportunities for our staff are so much greater here because it is such a big organisation, and in the NHS, an organisation of this size is a very attractive place to work. It's why I came. I interviewed for a consultant obstetrician just a few weeks ago, who is one of the best in the country, who's coming here just because it's such a big organisation. So in all the specialties, and at every level, not just consultants, but our nursing staff, physios, as Shane's mentioned, so it is very attractive. And I think we were right to ask questions about our visitors. I've actually been a carer for my husband last week. He was in hospital at Ipswich. And it is really important that you have visitors, so thank you for asking about that. And we also talked very importantly about infection prevention, very important at the moment, and keeping people safe in our hospitals. So thank you for coming along and for such a rich series of questions and for making the time. And if you'd like to stay, please do. Thank you to Shane for his answers. And I'll close the meeting now. Thank you.